We got Winfrey today representing the XMPP community. And without further ado, take it away.
Right. Good morning. Nice to see everybody here. To introduce myself, I'm Winfried Tilanus. Almost 20 years ago, I started off with software as a service, instant messaging service in healthcare. And right now, at the moment, I'm consulting there. And today, I would like to talk about XMPP as a modular protocol, because I think that's one of the things that sets XMPP apart from many other things. And it's good to make a distinction between the core basic functionalities of XMPP and they are maintained by the IETF and the IANA, and they are published as RFCs, and they are extensions, and you can use them for whatever you want to add to those core functionalities. Anybody can write them, and they can be private. You can publish them just as you like. And to have a bit of look of how they compare to each other, you have to really the base RFC on XMPP, two RFCs on ways to transport it, on addressing, including all kind of Unicode in addressing, very interesting stuff. You have then a special use case of the use of XMPP for messaging and presence, but you can do other things with it too. And then I can't name them all in one picture, but all the green blocks, there are accepts, and they can be about ways to transport XMPP, but you can also add functionality, maybe other functionality than messaging on presence, or functionality on top of that, or they can even depend on each other. So it's quite a bit of complex. Well, you have the XSF, the XMPP Standard Foundation. It's elected, the elected members, and the members elect teams. Important team for this talk is the council. They make the protocol decisions. The XSF cooperates, of course, with IETF on the core protocol, but it also publishes its own set of extensions, and those extensions are free to implement for everyone. But others can publish extensions too. For example, the IEE, the engineering, electrical engineering club, is now about to publish a set of XMPP extensions on IoT as their IoT standards. So let's have a look at the standards process, a little bit standards process of the XSF. A little bit simplified, but you have a nice idea and you send it to the inbox of the XSF. And then the council decides if it's a nice enough idea to publish. Then it's assigned a number and it's experimental. Then it can advance to draft. And in experimental, it really try, improve it. It's the idea to have many changes still. In draft, then it's becoming more or less stable, but there's still maybe some issues. And when really all issues are solved out, when there are several implementations of it, it can be promoted to final. And of course, extensions, protocols can also be sidetracked. They can be deferred, and that's an automatically process. When there's no update to an experimental extension in 12 months, it's automatically deferred. When there's a new update published, it moves back up to experimental. So that's a two-way route. But also, accept can be rejected, retracted, depreciated, or obsoleted. And that's end of the line. So that's there's one issue here, and I have to be honest. From experimental to draft, and from draft to final, that's going very slow. The bar is quite high to move on. So there are quite a lot of extensions that are perfectly functioning and in use, with the status of experimental or even didn't had any needs for a commit in 12 months and deferred. So that's a bit confusing. So you really should look at deferred extensions too. Then there are some kind of special exceptions, extension protocols. Historical, they're obsolete protocols but still in use, so we really publish them to document this is still happening around. Informational, they're really best practices, how to do certain things or how to use certain protocol, parts of the protocol. Procedural, that's really inside the XSF, how the XSF manages things. And the last two of those don't have draft or final, but propose an active state. So when you look at the list, you may see them too, so you know where it comes from. But let's have a look at that list. And first of all, I always check the deferred also, because there are quite a lot of interesting things there too. And you see XEP 001, the first one. That's a procedural XEP. It's active. I told you about it. And that XEP exactly describes what I just said, much more in detail. But that one prescribes the procedures of the standardization process. And, for example, you have the data forms, XEP 004. And that standards track, so it's a real technical standard. It's in final, so it's really complete. No issues found anymore with it. And that's how you can look at this list and see the standards. And well, let's give an example when you click on one of these, how that looks like. I won't tell you what this is about, exactly this XEP, but it's very important to see here. It's a draft, so you can see the status. You see here it's in the standards track. There's some explanation of it. And also you have the abstract, very short, what's it about? Introduction always or usually mentions a use case, so it's very nice to have a short look from, oh, what's this doing? And also interesting to see it's also dependent on another XEP. So you can see a bit of the relations here in the header. But I can imagine you think I'm getting lost now. Because there are 430 XEPs. Oh, there's one more. Admitted, I just heard. There's all kinds of stuff in there. Some of the deferred, as I told, XEPs are widely used. So how do you find a XEP that you really need for interoperability that's really widely deployed and add something that clients or servers may expect you to do? And how to find XEP that's future-proof, that you're not implementing something that will be superseded quite soon by something new. Well, we made something for that too. And of course, it's XEP, it's an extension. And we make a yearly compliance suit. It's each year a new one and the old one is obsoleted. And it's a list of XEPs you can use for core functions of XMPP, when you use XMPP as web backend, when you use XMPP for instant messaging, when you use XMPP over mobile connections. And for each of these, it's split up to a core server, advanced server, core client, and advanced clients, XEPs you need to implement. Well, bit abstract maybe. Well, this is how it looks like. This is really the core functionality. And of course, at the all of the core is the RFC 6120. If you don't implement that one, you can't call it XMPP. And then there are all kind of different functions you may need or may not need in several situations. So when you take a look at this, then you have a very nice overview of what XEPs you really should look at and consider implementing when you start several use cases. And also very nice, client servers, library programmers, they all document what XEPs they support. You see very often even on app stores or on the sites of projects, this implements XEP, and then you see a long list. So it's very easy to see it. I get an overview from, oh, what functionality does it have and doesn't it have? So depending on what you need, you can very easily choose. And many of them have a plug-in architecture and have plugins to support additional XEPs. So it's also very nice to have to look at the plugins of such a project. And there's one thing that's very nice when you start thinking about writing or creating something on your own. If you have a nice idea of sending structured health data over XMPP, something like that, you can just write your own extension namespace for it. And you don't need to change anything on the server. Anything you send from client to client is just pushed through. So you only have to make sure that both clients know that extension, and it works. So it's very nice, very nice. But let's have a look at some XEPs I really want to mention here. And the first one is a really old one, component protocol. And I encounter lots of people who think, oh, well, I have to connect people in some nifty way, really depending on our use case, and let's write a bot for it that connects everybody. Well, that's, I can tell you, that becomes totally clumsy, and there's a much easier way to handle use cases like this. And this is a protocol every server speaks, and it's about how to call an external small object thing that can do almost anything you like within XMPP. So it's a very easy way to extend your server in your own way. Other one I think that's really interesting and overlooked quite often is PubSub. It's, publish and subscribe. And it's a structure that's extremely powerful. Any kind of data feed you would like to push to your clients in real time can be done over PubSub, from microblogging to all kind of technical updates of machines. Have a look at it. It's extremely powerful, and I think it's rightly underused. A very exotic one is XMPP. It's a different kind of transport over high-frequency radio. Comes in extremely handy when you are operating a fleet of ships in the middle of the ocean. And it's an example of a very limited used extension and for a very specific use case. And another one I really like is in-band real-time text. This was originally made for communication devices for deaf people and for them to contact emergency services. And the idea of real-time text is that old ICQ-style chat, every character you type immediately appears at the other sides, and including the mistakes and the backspaces. And the deaf people really like this way of communicating, and they're also, I've noticed myself that in many emergency line type of situations, people really like this way of communicating. So these are some examples of things you can find beside the compliance suits in the XEP list. Then I picked this one out of the inbox. And I see somebody looking up. He just put it there last month or some weeks ago. I told you about that you can very easily write your own extension and then make sure both clients implement it and then do whatever you want. Well, many use cases, people tend to put messages like that into the message body, but it easily gets very clumsy. So to make it more easy, that you even don't have to write your own XEP for it, you may pick this one. And it just says, this is a small container where you can put some kind of data that's not a message in. And if you want to, for example, program a game over XMPP and get gig started, this may be a nice way to start off. Then There's one type of XEP I didn't mention yet. That's a XEP usually published at the 1st of April each year. And for example, this one. It's improving security. And it's really about encrypting big parts of the message. So here's the original unencrypted message, and here's a correctly encrypted message. What's happened here? Who's seen it?
We're cheating.
Great way to get to end-to-end encryption.
No idea.
Another XEP from the humorous kind I really like. There's always a big discussion why put XML over the wire. Shouldn't we have a binary wire protocol? So here you have the nice XML stanza. Here's a binary representation for it. So we made a nice representation of sending this over the wire. Helpful, great way to save bandwidth, isn't it? They are in the list marked as humorous. I know of one humorous XEP that had been implemented, but the guy who did it knew what he was doing. Well, I believe I'm running out of time already. If you need to know more, all of this is at the xmpp.org website. Whatever you do, don't forget to look at this year's compliance suits. Feel free to ask hints, tips, and assistance. We are here at Vostem at the real-time lounge in the K building. But of course, you can find us also online in the XMPP Jabber Dev group chat or in the JDev mailing list. And they're really great places. And it's an open community. People are very helpful. Ask any dumb question and you will get a nice answer. Thank you.
We do have time for a couple of questions. Is there any? This must have been set up.
So I'm going to do one of these annoying things where you ask a question that you know the answer to. You mentioned that the XMPP Standards Foundation has elected members. Do you have to be an elected member to get a ZEP published or comment on one or change one or anything?
No, not at all. Anyone can submit a XEP, and it's... And even when you write your own XEP and not submitting it, of course, you have not totally free. It's very helpful to be for a member of the community or attending summits, because they're really, when you're writing, really into writing protocols, there are really interesting and good discussions going on there. Lots of information and all the people involved in it, you can meet there. So there are good places to go. But it's not needed. You can just say, well, this is nice, let's submit it.
Well, since there are no questions, I will add to what you said. A few years ago, I was working on an XMPP thing myself. So I showed up with Adrian here to XMPP Summit, knowing nobody. And it was a really, really welcoming community. Really had a good time. Worked together, co-authored one of the XEPs at some point in time, even. Not an elected member of anything. And it was really a pleasant collaboration with you guys. Yeah. Thank you for your time.